I want to talk to us a little bit from the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, and I will go from there to several other places maybe in the Word of God. But to my way of thinking, what I have to say tonight will be in connection with what Brother Seth has already said to us. I'll not read all the chapter tonight, but I will begin reading at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." I believe that this is referring in a particular sense to the pastor, but it also has a general reference that younger people should take knowledge and respect the wisdom and the experience of the older. I read through Proverbs every month. It's a good practice, discipline. This is the 13th day of the month, and so I try to read the 13th chapter every day. But the thing that I'm impressed with in the book of Proverbs is the key word, which is wisdom. And wisdom and foolishness are the contrasted subjects. And the fool will not take counsel or advice, but the wise will heed the instruction of his teachers. And Peter here says, let the younger be submissive unto the elder. But not just that way. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That means that there's no high upty ups or no exalted persons in the Lord's work. We are just co-laborers. And it's interesting as you read through the epistle of the Apostle Paul, all the various people that he names as being his co-laborers. Verily, the work of Paul from the human aspect could not have been done had it not been that there were some godly women and some godly men that helped him and assisted him in his ministry. And be clothed with humility. Now, that's a challenge. Clothed with humility. Proverbs 6th chapter says that one of the things that God hates is a proud look. Stylishness. You know, I'm not interested in style. I thought I could say one thing about my clothes. They are clean, but stylishness is not becoming to the saints of God. By that I mean striving to be stylish. The fact of the matter is, the style of the age is always an ungodly style. Be not conformed to the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Humility is the garment that God's people are to be robed in. That's not the Pharisaical garments. That's not false piety. I say about the Amish people, I have great appreciation for them in a lot of ways, and I don't like to pick on them. But their dress, I do not believe, is one that becomes humility. I think it is false humility. I think it is one to direct attention to themselves. That's one of the things that is to be a mark of God's people, is that we do not direct attention to ourselves. Now, we will, we will automatically. If you don't dress like the world, you're going to attract attention to yourself. But if I was to put on a polka dot suit and walk down the street, you'd right real quick know that I'd get all the attention in the world. And if I said to you, I'm wearing this polka dot suit because I'm wanting to act humble, you'd say, Brother Herb, it just does not jive, doesn't go together, you know. Well, I just said, I have great appreciation for the Amish people. I've lived up in New York State, and we had a lot of Amish people around up there, and I just love their lifestyle. I've told people I wish my religion would let me begin Amish. I appreciate their lifestyle. I like them buggies and all things like that, but I know them also. You know, I had a preacher friend, the Hawkins, from Napanee, Indiana. He lived right in the heart of some Amish people up there. And he confirmed to me my feelings that it was much a show of false piety. Well, that's not what Peter is talking about here. And I appreciate genuine humility, but clothed with humility is not that. He is talking about that which comes from within. That which comes from within. Humility that covers us, robes us in all of our ways. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The phrase here is that He may exalt you. Now, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. That takes discipline. That takes self-denial. That takes much time in prayer. That takes the work of the Holy Spirit. That takes effort. Because I found my problem is when I thought I got humble, I'm proud of it. And I'm always quick to let someone else know that I've attained to that humility. So Peter here is saying that we are in every aspect to humble ourselves. And there is much scripture here, as we've already heard this already from Seth, and how that we are not to think too highly of ourselves, let each esteem others but prefer others over himself. And we are of a human characteristic that we are interested primarily in me, I, myself. And even the saints of God have problems with that. Humble yourselves, and here's the promise. Here's the reward for that. That He may exalt you at the right time. When it says exalt you in due time, exalt you in the right time. It may never be in time, but it will be at the right time. You may live and die, and no one ever take note of who you are. But rest assured, God will exalt you at the right time, at the proper time. Here's where I wanted to really get to tonight. This verse is here. Casting. And the word means to roll it over. Roll over all of your care upon Him. Now that's a very ambitious thought, that we would dare to take our problems to God. Fact of the matter is, there are some religions in the world that would tell you that God is just too busy to be involved and concerned about little peons here in life. We are used to that in the ordinary way, you know. You cannot get access to certain high officials. We may have voted for them, but that's, immaterial. We may pay their salary by taxes, but that's still immaterial. Unless they really need something from you, they just don't have time today for you. And so we are accustomed to that concept that people in high positions and high authority, that they're just too busy to be occupied with us. Why should we dare bother them? Casting, rolling all of your cares upon Him. Look at that next verse. For He careth for you. Isn't that wonderful? What else do you want in life? I mean, isn't that a great consolation in all of our burdens that we're told to bring them to the Lord, roll them over on the Lord? I have to stop here and digress just a minute. A thought comes to my mind of a picture image that I saw when I was in Israel, visiting in Israel, and I saw this woman. Women worked there hard, and this woman was walking towards the bus. She was going to get on the bus, and she had a big basket of some kind of maybe vegetables, carrots or something. They grew carrots, the biggest carrots I ever saw in my life in Israel. But she had a big basket of sack, or something, on top of her head. That's where they carried everything. Like I saw an Indian, that places. And so the bus driver is going to help her put up on top of the bus. That's where all the luggage go, up on top of the bus up there. And so that's what she did. He comes out there. He's a pretty burly looking fellow, pretty big guy. But she just kind of tilted that thing over and rolled it over on him, and he went down to his knees. He is able to bear our burdens. And not only to bear our burdens, but to deliver us from the burden that we've been carrying. Whatever that burden is. If it is His will to deliver us, and His brother Bobby prayed so correctly a while ago, if it is the will of God to do this, He can lift us from the very burden that we cannot bear ourselves and deliver from us. With man, this is impossible maybe, but with God, all things are possible. And so why we are to bring these burdens to Him is because He careth for you. Now, we're given a warning. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And there is the personal warning here, and you ought to circle this word, your. 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 Be sober, be vigilant, because your. And that's the emphasis, really, of the verse. In the Greek, it is very emphatic. Your personal adversary. You thought your adversary was the boss man. You thought your adversary was the neighbor next door. Or you thought your adversary was Joe so-and-so. But your adversary is the devil. And he is a personal adversary. And he is not wanting to be your friend. He is seeking your destruction. In our little town of Aberdeen the other day, we had a little big excitement. A man was being arrested for speeding or something or another, driving on the north. He wasn't driving, I think he might have been speeding. And they took him down to the city police station, and they were booking him. And suddenly, he grabbed the police officer's gun and shot the police officer and ran out the building and was loose in town. And they locked down Aberdeen. And they stopped every car. They stopped every vehicle going and coming in. Out. We weren't in town. But I read about it, heard about it, and it was on the news and everything. And other people talk about it. I mean, they simply locked down the town. You could not go through Aberdeen. And they put on the radio to people to lock their doors because this man, they thought, was armed and dangerous. And people did. Fortunately, they got the bloodhounds out and they caught him and put him in jail. Well, people were excited and they were disturbed and they took due vigilance and they guarded themselves. This man is simply a trivial thing to who our adversary is. As a roaring lion, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. And you'll have to deal with him before you get home tonight. And before you go to bed. And through the day tomorrow, you have to deal with him. Be vigilant then. Whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Well, you know, there's some kind of a little bit of comfort there. I'm not the only one who's got this problem. We mutually have this problem. We mutually have this adversary. And we mutually must deal with him. There is no temptation overtaking you, but such as is. There's a word that we need to keep in mind. What's that next word? Common. Common. One of the lies the devil will tell you is that your problems are unique to you and that nobody else anywhere has ever had your kind of problem. And that your problems are so great that it's impossible for God to do anything about it. But that's what the Scripture says. There's no temptation nor taking you but such as is common. And God is what? Faithful. To provide a way of escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. That's not what you want to hear. You want to get it, just throw it away. No, no, bear it. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have, and here's a word that we would like to